NBA Australia. How are you going? Now you're as dusty as I am.
Jeez, I'll tell you what, bro. St. Patrick's Day did a number on your old mate Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's Thursday, March 18. This is NBA Australia. I am James Clements, your host. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Red Bull, Mag, Junkie. Whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet booze money.
I don't need much of that at the moment, man. I think I might give it a bit of a rest, eh?
Here in Larry Armour Studios, giving you the lowdown on all the ins and outs of the NBA season. A heap of stuff going on today. Oh, yeah. Well, repping Australia a little bit. That's what we do here. We don't take things too seriously. You might be able to tell that. Dunno. We leave the serious stuff to the nerds out there. But righto. Big day. Trades. Glorious trades. A couple of trades to talk about. Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker. Old mate, erstwhile former NBL player has been traded as well. Sorry, Craig. Off you go. Some sad news about Sean Bradley, but also some wildly, wildly crazy games today to talk about. Fucking Furkan Korkmaz. Giannis sitting on the Philly, halfway mark or whatever he was doing. It's pretty gnarly. De'Aaron Fox hitting game winners. Some Luka Magic. Ben Simmons hit a three. Unbelievable. So we're going to fang through all that in the NBA Australia game wraps. That means there's That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spun of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's Yeah Nas, there's the Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There's Australian Player Watch, and it's Thursday, so we'll chuck in a Kiwi Corner and a Diary of Stephen Adams to finish off today, which would be nice, as well as a preview for all the games tomorrow. Big Friday tomorrow. We'll pick and preview for each of those. That'll be good. Right, anyway, let's do it all then, shall we? Episode 571 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better watch out for the 2:30 finish. If your old mate Jimmy over here, getting too old for this shit, aren't I? What are you doing, mate? Out of the pub. It's a mate's birthday, it's St. Patrick's Day, it's all over. Shut it down. I've been so dusty today. So slow and just meandering. Oh, jeez. But look, at least there's a bunch of stuff to talk about in today's show, so let's bloody well get to it. NBA Australia, the way we start every show here. The Daily. Whip around Trevor Ariza. Has once more been traded 11 times. That's absolutely crazy, isn't he? He's been on 11 teams. OKC sends Trevor Ariza to Miami for Myers. I apparently hate Jewish folk, Leonard, and a future second round pick. Now, if you're listening to this here program at the moment, you know that I'm not on board with naming the year 2027 because I don't want to think about where we're at in 2027. It just seems like, 2027, that's like way off in the future. It's only 6 years away. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about 2027, so that's a future second, we're going to call that. Trevor Ariza hasn't played in over a year because he opted out of the bubble. Remember that? Bit tough. And Myers Leonard's not going to be a part of the Thunder. He's not even going to go there. The team announced. They're like, yeah, look, we don't want a fucking part of that, dickhead. So we'll see you later. And off goes Trevor to the Miami Heater boys, and Myers Leonard had to waive a no-trade clause on his two-year contract as well to get this actually happening, and that included a team option for next year, which the team will have to decline it as part of the procedural matter in completing the deal, apparently. And all this was because Myers Leonard was agreeable to facilitate the deal as a gesture of good faith to the Heat organization. How's that? He got exiled. They kicked him off the team. They traded him for Trevor Ariza. They actually got something back for him, which is pretty crazy. But remember, as always, fuck Myers Leonard. The next trade, actually a big one. PJ Tucker, man, and Rodion Kurix are off to Milwaukee. I heard it's Algonquin for the good land for DJ Augustine, who's fucking shit ass, and DJ Wilson. They're down to Houston, but Houston's also giving back the 2022 first-round pick Milwaukee owe them, but they're getting 2023's unprotected first-rounder from Milwaukee in return for PJ Tucker, which is pretty cool. They also get to swap its 2021 second round pick this year for Milwaukee's first round pick this year, unless it somehow randomly, bizarrely, falls between 1 and 9. Basically, the Bucks moved back a few slots in the end of the first round into the second round with the Rockets, which is pretty funny. So the Rockets could have now 3 first rounders this year. Good on them. And finally, as mentioned, Torrey Craig, he's off to Phoenix. Nothing in return. Weird how that didn't work out at all for Torrey Craig in Milwaukee. A couple of good years in Denver. Look, the goods. The Bucks do have a lot of like sort of wings that they're trying to figure out, and the squeeze got him. They bring in Bryn, your mum's best mate, Forbes, and they've got Dante DiVincenzo, Patty C, DJ Wilson, and they obviously used to have Sterling Brown, but he was off to Houston already. And so Torrey Craig never really cracked the rotation. Boom, off he goes to Phoenix. Other news, Kevin Durant still a few weeks away from returning, according to Steve Nash. Coming back from that calf strain, they're going to play it safe. And so they should, because the dude tore his Achilles and he's coming back in the calf. I'm no medical doctor, but the calf is very, very close to the Achilles. So play it fucking completely safe because you want to be healthy going to the playoffs if you're Brooklyn. And then the very sad news today, we find out that former Dallas Mavericks Sixer, what was he on the Nets as well for a little bit? Sean Bradley, the gentle giant, was paralyzed in a bike accident last year. Got hit by a car from behind, a block from his house. Jesus. So big prayers up for big Sean Bradley. Hope he's doing right. It sounds like it's just fucking brutal. Just imagine. Obviously, it's completely fucking horrifying. He's a paraplegic. Just imagine trying to rehab when you're 7'6 and that big. Fuck, man. That is tough. So, look, hopefully Sean Bradley, you know, goes okay and he's rehabbing. Some nice stuff happens to them because that's fucked. Some COVID news. Wiseman and Eric Paschal are in the old safety protocols. But then today, the NBA and the NBAPA, the Players Association, announced that they're basically trying to incentivize the vaccination program. I don't know, man. I feel like the incentive should be you're vaccinated against COVID, you morons. But the NBA's fully vaccinated players, coaches, and staffers can now basically leave their hotel rooms anytime, go to in-person marketing stuff, have in-person team meetings. They can do PCR testing earlier in the day. They don't have to wear masks, the practice facility. They can go to outdoor restaurants. Wow. There's no quarantine if they do get exposed to it, so there's no more contact tracing. That's pretty gnarly. And no PCR tests on their day off. So pretty cool. They can interact with any other person if they're at home, not at a bar or a club or a lounge. And that's pretty cool. So this is obviously the NBA and the NBA PA going, look, we want to keep doing this season. And also, we understand that you're a little bit, you know, reluctant when it comes to vaccines and stuff. And that's like, to be honest, that's fine if you're a part of the African-American community because of all the dumb fuckery that they've been put through by Whitey over the years and like horrible fucking experiments and all that sort of shit. So, you know, they're right to be wary, but I mean, it's a fucking vaccine for COVID. So how about we just roll it? So it's interesting to see that the individual is like, you know, doing the vaccinations. They do their 2 vaccination jabs and away they go. And yeah, the NBA is like, once you do that, life gets a bunch fucking easier, man. Which is cool. So good on them. That's a pretty good incentive for the players, I reckon, because they'd be going fucking absolutely mad with some of the restrictions, eh? Right. Game wraps. So many game wraps.
Game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps,
game wraps. The game wraps are always brought to you by WeAre.co. If you're out there looking to do a bit of crowdfunding, do a bit of fundraising for your community project or your own creative project, whatever, do a raffle, go to WeAre.co. They're partnering with NBA Australia. We're going to fire off a raffle as of tomorrow. Got some great prizes. It'll be pretty gnarly. It's going to be lots of fun, but WeAre.co, if you're in Australia, it's probably the best way to go about community fundraising. If you've got a community basketball team, footy team, whatever, cricket team, I'm going to use it for pub cricket as well. And you get to do cool stuff through WeAre, so go check it out. There's 0% fees, so it's the best way to go about it. Keep some money. Boom, away you go. Right, let's do the game race for today. Sacramento beat Washington 121-119. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Sacramento had a 9-point lead in this in the third, tried to blow it, and then they blew it. Rusty Westbrook just absolutely went off, had like a 6-zip run all of himself in the fourth, ties it all up, 22.2 seconds left. They get it back, though. Sacramento, the lead. Because Diaz of Fox is a gun. And hits the game winner with F-all time left on the clock. And then Rusty just tosses the ball away on the last possession. Game over. The Wiz went 4 of 25 from 3 in this one. So, to be honest, you're not that surprised that they lost, right? Beal went 0 of 5 from downtown. Jesus. He had 29 points still. Rusty had a triple-double, 26, 14, and 10, but he did have 6 turnovers. Also got blocked by the rim twice. Rui Hachimura was awesome again. He is very much coming into his own, young Rui. 17-9. And the Latvian Ryan Anderson, Davis Bertans, 2 of 9, including going 2 of 8 from downtown. That's 6 points, 2 rebounds for your $80 million Amish bearded man. Fantastic. The Kings, Diaz of Fox, had 28-7. Tyrese Halliburton was really good. 17-4 for him. 18s each for Barnes and Holmes. Hello, Holmes. 16 for Buddy Hield, 3 of 9 from downtown, and 12 for Corey Joseph off the bench as well. He's been pretty good the last little while, coming off the bench, giving a bit of a scoring punch. Washington have now lost 5 straight since the All-Star break. Oh, geez. They're 14-25. Sacramento are 16-24. Milwaukee played against Philly in Philly, an absolute rip-snort of a game, 109-105. They win in overtime. It goes to overtime because of fucking Furkan Korkmaz hitting a buzzer-beating 3 to tie it all back up. It was crazy, but this is nuts because the way this game went, ebbs and flows, mate. Ebbs and flows. The Bucks had 31 points in the first half, which is their lowest half ever under Buds. And it was a huge, huge lead that the Sixers blew. They're up, what, like 20, basically? I think they're up 19 in the second quarter. And it just sort of fizzled away, didn't it? Like, slowly and surely, Milwaukee just reeled them in. Simo and Matty T, old Aussie Matty T, Matisse Thybulle, were absolutely running rampant. Giannis is airballing threes. They look a mess. And then down the stretch, Jrue Holiday just started scoring huge buckets. Danny Green hit a 3. Fucking Furkan, as mentioned, ties it up, goes to overtime. But then Giannis uses overtime to really flex on him, goes on a 7-zip run to close out the game, take control, hits a massive 3. The only 3 he hits all game is in overtime, and it's massive, huge, hits a nice little runner, turnaround jumper in the paint, sits down, just enjoys the moment in the middle of the floor in Philly. That was pretty good. And Philly, look, they blew a massive lead. They lose to Milwaukee. Philly still didn't have Embiid, you know? So the fact that it took them overtime is pretty nuts. The Sixers shot under 40%. They went 14 of 41 from downtown and had 20 turnovers and were still in this game. It's crazy. No thanks to Tobias the Never Nude Harris. 19 points on 23 shots. What are you doing, Toby? Simo had 13, 10, and 12. Nice triple-double and hit a 3! As mentioned at the top, at the very end of the game, it was completely pointless. Thanks a lot, Benny. Good job, mate. Good job. What else? Danny Green woke up and hit 6 threes, which is pretty gnarly, at 18 points. Shake had 15 points on 15 shots, old Shake Milton. Korkmaz, old fucking Furkan. That 3 was awesome. He just shook his man, made sure he was out outside the 3 line. Boom. Nailed it. He ended up with what? 11 points, but went 3 or 4 from downtown. Dwight Howard had 13 and 15, but was a minus 13 for the game. Tough scenes there. Tough scenes there. Dwight at least acknowledged that after the game, too. The Bucks, 9 of 39 from downtown. They still won. Pretty crazy. Giannis had 32, 15, and 5. He was really good. Well, he was good in the second half and then in the overtime. He was perfect in the overtime. Chris Pippa Middleton was horrible. I mean, he's good from the free throw line. It's like, oh, it's nice that we've got a clutch dude. However, in this game, he had 15 points on 16 shots, went 0 of 4 from downtown, and had 8 turnovers. Jesus. Jrue Holiday was good, though. 19-6-6 for him. Dante DiVincenzo hit 4 of 9 from downtown for his 20. Bryn Forbes. Bryn, your mum's best mate. No good. Talk about him later. Blopez had 3 threes. He had 16. Philly dropped to 28-13. Still tied at the top of the East with Brooklyn, who we're about to talk about. And Milwaukee, right behind them, 26-14. Brooklyn beat Indiana, 124-115, without Kyrie. He set out with a groin strain. That's what happens when you're carrying around that giant hog. No KD, huge win. Because Brooklyn were down massive, came all the way back and smoked them down the stretch. It was insane. Like, Indy had them. It was done. Absolutely done-ski. Done like a dog's brekkie. And then bang. James Harden just goes, nah, not on my watch. Like, fucking, what are we doing, bro? Let's just win this one. And, yeah, like, Indy are up, like, 14 points at some point, 15, 14, whatever. And Brooklyn just kept coming after them. It was awesome. All the way back they came and took the lead with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Their first lead since the first quarter. And then Harden just ran them out of their own building. It was huge. He was absolutely remarkable on this day. Great game from him. A really, really horrible game from the Pacers. Like, the Souvlaki King has a triple-double, but at the same time, it was one of the least interesting triple-doubles you could see, especially considering that Miles Turner's in foul trouble. And you're like, well, if there's a game where our two big dudes could dominate, it's probably going to be against the Nets. But Nicky Claxton and James Harden just went nut. Harden had 14 points in the fourth quarter. Nick Claxton had 6. Jeff Green was doing stuff. Tyler Johnson hit a 3 that was huge for them. So good job by the Nets. Big win for them. I don't know, man. I just love Nicky Claxton. That dude is a burst of energy. The Souvlaki King, look, not bad. Not bad, but really should have been so much better. 18, 11, and 11. Good on him. Cool. Shot 8 of 11 as well. That's a lot of 11s. But 18, 11, 11. You're kind of just a bit sad about the Souvlaki King's performance in this one. Really should have dominated. Brogdon, El Presidente, had 24 points. Shot 1 of 5 from downtown. 10 of 17 overall. But the big part was Karras. My sweet baby Karras against his old team. He was pretty bloody good too. 19 points, 5 assists. 6 of 16 from the floor, 3 of 8 from downtown. You love to see it. Dougie McBuckets and TJ McConnell both with 12 off the bench. And as mentioned, though, Miles Turner. In a game where the biggest dude that, you know, the Nets can throw at you is going to be DeAndre Jordan and then, like, Nicky Claxton. Turner, 9 points, 4 rebounds and 5 fouls in 24 minutes. Against the Nets. Miles, what are you doing? It's like as soon as his name gets thrown around in like trade rumors, he falls apart. For the Nets, Harden was absolutely remarkable. 40 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds. His 16th career 40-point triple-double. That is absolutely wild. Joey Harris had 19 points and went 5-7 from 3. 15s off the bench for Tyler Johnson and El Jefe Green. Both of whom have been very, very solid for the Nets of late. And Claxy, old Nicky Claxton. Love to see it. 11 points, 8 rebounds off the bench. He was great. He was a plus 24, Nick Claxton. That is huge. He and Harden were basically out there crushing it every time they're on the court. So great job by Nicky. Indy, 17 and 22 now. Brooklyn, 28 and 13. Nice. Toronto lost, I believe, their 6th straight game. 112-116 to Detroit. Toronto got their dudes back as well. Siakam, Van Vliet, etc. Then forgot to play defense and then also forgot how to shoot. That's pretty much the game. They moved Bangers back to the bench against his old team as well. And look, when you do that, of course you're going to lose. But Jeremy Grant hit a very, very big, bald Sam Cassell ISO turnaround jumper in the last 10 seconds to basically seal this game. It was huge. That was awesome. Norm was incredible for the Raps. He had 43. He went 8 of 12 from downtown. He is just a fucking spark plug. I love Norm, pal. But unfortunately for the Raptors, the story of the game was Big Buddha Car Larry, Freddie Van Vliet, the Fighting Van Vliets, and Pascal Siakam being absolutely bloody horrible shooting. They combined to shoot 7 of 37. Now, I'm no math magician, but 7 of 37 is not... 1 of 13, they went from downtown. Jesus. Van Vliet has 12 points on 13 shots. Siakam had 13 points on 3 of 11 shooting, and Big Buddha Car Larry had 8 points on 2 of 13 shooting. Yeesh. Chris Bobby Boucher, though, was pretty good. 21 points, 4 blocks for him. Not enough to get over the Pistons with Jeremiah Grant having 23. And Sadiq Bey. Oh, Big Deke Bey. Love it. 28 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. He went 6 of 10 from downtown. Absolutely unreal. Dallin Wright had 18, 10, and 8 as well. And anytime your team is getting beaten and outscored by Dallin Wright, you're fucked. What's going on, Toronto? Plumlee had 10 points, 14 rebounds. Josh Pacey-Jackson had 16 off the bench. Nice to see the big rook Isaiah Stewart also have 10 as well. Toronto, 6 straight L's now. They're 17 and 23. Detroit, up to 11 and 29. Boston lost in Cleveland. That's right, 117-110. No Kemba. He was out resting. This was a wildly hilarious laugher for the Cavs. They smoked him in the first half. Boston were down huge. Came all the way back. But what do we say here on the old NBA Australia all the time? It's really hard to come all the way back from a huge deficit and then get actually ahead and then stay ahead. They could never get it ahead. They got it down to three, then to two, then two. Then there was like a bang in the fourth quarter. The sex man just went, right, fuck it, this is done. 10-2 run from Cleveland right at the end, seals it all up.
Cleveland!
The Seas just couldn't catch up. Like, Okoro dunked all over Tatum in the middle of that run, and boom. It just, like, it sucked the life out of Boston. Like, it's St. Paddy's Day. You're the Celtics. Have a bit of pride, would ya?
Dude, you see the Celtics, kid? On St. Paddy's Day, they basically fucking completely embarrassed this kid. Dude. Tatum, 29 points on 24 shots. He went 3 of 13 from downtown. Jaylen Brown went 2 of 10 from downtown. Yeah, so when your two best players go 5 of 23 from downtown, yeah, you're fucked. Brown had 28 points, though. 19 for Marcus. Smart! Pretty smart. He was all right. He was good. Short arm to 3 right at the end, though, that you're like, oh, if he hits that, they would have been in it. Time Lord had 13 and 14, but no one else did shit. The Celtics defense is an absolute mess without Tristan Thompson, which is a horrible sentence to say. Like, it shouldn't be that bad without Tristan Thompson, you know what I'm saying? The sex man for the Cavs, he had 29-7-6. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland at 25-6. He was unreal. Okoro was great. He had 15 points, but his D was absolutely terrifying at times. Larry Nance Jr. did a bit of everything as well. He had 18-10-4. Boston dropped back down to 500. They're 20-20. Cleveland! A 15-25. Oh, isn't that nice? Golden State beat Houston 108-94. Steph got hurt, fell over backwards onto his ass. And hurt his tailbone. So that was a bit of a tough one for Steph. Jesus. You don't want to fuck with your tailbone, man. Because you know what's really fun? Sitting down. I'll tell you what. Victor Oladipo was out in this with the right quad. But Christian Wood, what ScoMo's got for Cole, finally came back. And it didn't matter. And Houston still lost. They got killed in the second quarter. They were down 24 going into the second half. And it was just brutal. Christian Wood had 21-9, 25 for Kevin Porter Jr. and nothing anywhere else. Like, Danny Dr. House Jr. came back as well in this game. He had 11. Kenyon Martin Jr. had 13 off the bench, and no one else did shit. The Warriors, Steph, had 18 points. He went 2 of 11 from 3. Draymond had a triple-double, though. He was really good in this game. And Draymond, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 7 of 8 shooting. The only shot he missed was one of his two threes. Oubre had 19. Wigo had 17 and 6. And Jordan Poole, loved to see it. He hit 6 threes. Had 23 points. Good stuff. Houston are now 11-28. They've lost 18 on the trot, including 11 by double digits in a row. 12 is the record of double-digit losses in a row. That was the 92-93 Mavs, the horrible 92-93 Mavs, just before the Triple J tenure of the Mavs. And Golden State are now 21-20. Good stuff. The Spurs had a massive comeback as well. It was a big comeback day today, wasn't it? Spurs 106-99 in Chicago beat the Bulls. Chicago had a huge... They're up 25, I think 23. Still up 18 at the half. Came all the way back to the Spurs thanks to Derek White and our man, Patty. That's right, Patty Thrills absolutely crushed it. He was huge defensively, hit some big shots. They kicked up a press on Chicago and it really fucked the Bulls up, which is pretty funny. But the Spurs were like down going into the last quarter. They opened up with a 12-zip run. And it's like, here you go. Chicago answered, though. I think it was like a 9-2 run that Chicago had. And the Spurs just went, oh, that's pretty cool. And then went 17-0 in the fourth quarter to win by 7. To just put them away. It was hilarious. They outscored them by 20 in the fourth quarter. Absolutely amazing. The Bulls stink. 17 turnovers to 9. Ugh. Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine had 29 points. 12 of 21 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, just not enough though. Patch Williams, he had 10 points, 14 rebounds. Larry, that's a girl's name. Markin had 10 points on 10 shots. Thad Buckets had 16, 8 and 5. Erstwhile, you know, Brisbane Bullets owner. And Kobe White, 3 of 11 for 9 points off the bench. Not great, not good. Not enough there for the Bulls. Wendell and Kobe off the bench, just not firing. The Spurs, Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl was awesome. He had 20 points, a career high. 16 rebounds, a career high. Shot 9 of 11, a career high. Derek White had 17 and 5. DeJounte Murray had 14. So did Keldon Johnson, and so did Patty. Led the way. They were awesome. It was a really balanced attack from the Spurs in this one. So obviously still without DeMar, who was in LA.
attending his dad's funeral. Obviously, a very sad situation for DeMar, but the Spurs absolutely tear it up, get a massive win. Good on him. Just bloody well good on him. Chicago, 18-21. Spurs, 21-16. Jesus, a lot of games. Memphis beat Miami on a Ja Morant game winner. You little ripper. The Grizz could not hit a shot for most of this game, but they grinded out 89-85. That's right, an NBA game that was 89-85 in the year of our Lord, 2021. The Grizz blew a 9-point lead at the end of the third quarter. Tyler Hero was hitting massive shots. Butts got some nice gear. It was all tied up at 83. And then bang, it wasn't. It's all tied up again later. I think it was 85-85. Ja Morant takes the ball with 9 seconds left, goes the length of the floor. Jimmy Butts is just draped all over him and throws in an amazing layup to win the game. Puts them up two with like no time left. Miami basically couldn't get anything going, and they basically tried to throw it in and end up being a violation or whatever, and yeah, boom, away they go. Memphis win 89. Butsy had 10 points in the third quarter, got them right back in this. 24 points, 7 assists, 10 of 20 shooting. Bam had 15, 12, and 6, but no one else could hit a shot for the Heat. 11 points on 11 shots. Big balls from Tyler Hero, but nothing else. Duncan Robinson was horrible. Goran Dragic was horrible. Kendrick Lamar Nunn was horrible. We'll talk about them later. The Grizz, 5 of 15 for Ja Morant. Didn't matter. Hit the shot when it mattered. 2 of 2 for clutch go-ahead last 2 second shots all time. 2 of 2. What a legend. Dylan Brooks went 3 of 13 for his 10 points. You don't usually win that game if you're the Grizz, but they did today. My name is Jonas Valanciunas, 7 of 12. Slow-mo was pretty bloody good too. 13, hit massive free throws late. And D'Anthony Melton had 13 points, 10 rebounds and 6 assists off the bench. Pretty massive in a game where you couldn't really score, and D'Anthony Melton's out there doing it. Miami had been rolling. Their win streak is over. They're 22-19. Memphis, their losing streak is over too. 18-19. Charlotte got absolutely fucking straight killed by the Denver Nuggets. They got straight killed. They led at the start, then never lit again. Second quarter, they blew it out, then shit pumped them in the third. Game over. Denver, 129-104. Rose had 21. Gordon Hayward, make America Gordon again. 7 points on 7 shots. Oh, bro. I don't like, you know, the, what do you call it? The altitude, eh? Gordon smelt weed once and then played like shit. LaMelo, he wasn't very good either. 14 points, 1 of 5 from downtown. Malik Monk had 16 off the bench. It's like, all right, cool. The Joker, 12, 10, and 10. The J-Kid, triple-double. We love to see that. Jam and Jamal Murray had, hit 5 threes. He had 19 points. Michael Porter Jr. was great. 28 points, 13 rebounds. Did a little bit of everything. You love to see it. Another good game from MPJ. And Will the Thrill Barton, 23 points as well. Charlotte dropped to 20-19. Denver, 24-16. And the final game of today, 105, the Dallas Mavericks beat the LA Los Angeles Clippers, 89. Big second quarter, got the Mavs out and in control of this one. Clips got it back to 6 heading into the fourth, and Luka Magic. Luka just flat out closed this out, and it was absolutely unbloody real. I will tell you that much. He was awesome in this game. He had 42. And I'll tell you what, the Clippers just couldn't match him, which is pretty wild once you think about, oh yeah, well, they've got Paul George and Kawhi. Yeah, it didn't matter, bro. It did not matter at all. Kawhi couldn't do anything. Luka was absolutely shredding. Great stuff. Luka in the fourth quarter, just sort of every time they threatened, he just went, right, nah, fuck yous. Boom. Hit a massive, like, and-one three. He was really bloody good. He had 11 points in the fourth quarter. Josh Richo Richardson was really handy. He didn't score in the fourth quarter, but did a lot of little bit of everything else. Tim Hardaway, Max Shakleba, hello, also chucked in some points in that fourth. Really, really good game. It was like a really impressive win for Dallas, right? It was, you know, a little bit of, I like to see the chutzpah out of Dallas. And obviously it's very hard. I think it shows and displays just how hard it is to win both of these baseball series games, right? It's like the Clippers-Dallas back-to-backs. They split it after the Clippers dominated the first one, Dallas dominated the second one. Carlisle leaned on his dudes, though, for this one, you reckon. 8 players basically played all game, and the starters all played very heavy minutes to make sure they did win it. So Carlisle obviously went, right, we're going to fucking win this one. So Kawhi. Not a great game. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Shot 9 of 21. To get to his 20 points. 1 of 4 from the free throw line as well. Paul George, though, broke out of his shooting slump. He had 28. He went 5 of 8 from downtown. And Zoobs, he had 14 and 7, but the bench was just brutal. Nicky Batum Lou Will, Terrence Mann, they went 4 of 15 combined and just not enough there for the Clippers. Luka Doncic, obviously without Serge Ibaka again, just a bit of a tough scene for the Clippers. Luka had 42 and 9, he was awesome. The Extreme Zinger Meal, Jesus.
The Extreme Zinger Meal.
Shot 5 of 14, but he had 13 rebounds, 2 blocks, and you just like his activity at some of these. In some of these games, you're like, oh yeah, he should be right. And then you look around and go, oh, he is playing against Ivica Zubac, so yeah. Was that the fully charged Zinger Burger?
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Maybe not. 11 points, though. Good on him. Richo really enjoyed Josh Richardson's game in this one, though. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. Loved his tenacity, the way he was covering dudes in the Clippers. He was awesome. So great job by Richo. Hardaway the Lesser was in the starting lineup in the place of Dwight Powell as well. He had 15 and 6. Only 11 points off the bench, but it didn't matter. Max Shaklierbar, he had 12 and 6 too. Good game by the Mavs, landing on their starters. It's like very much it felt like a playoff vibe for them. So good job. Clippers, 26 and 16. Dallas, sneakily now, not doing too bad. 21 and 18. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the day.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Ah, Luka. That 42 points was absolutely huge. He shot 16 of 28 and went 6 of 11 from downtown. He was absolutely amazing and really just like, I love his swagger when he's on. He's just like, fuck all of yous. I'm going to win it. We're going to be radical. Giannis was the same, right? At the end of that Sixers game, he was something else. As mentioned, the 7-zip run that he went on in overtime was awesome. Sitting on the court like a smartass, I enjoyed that. The 32, 15, and 5 is pretty bloody good, especially how he was so bad in the first half, was being put in the penitentiary by Ben Simmons, and boom, just came out fucking firing. Just going, right, we're not going to lose this one, fellas, and he was awesome. 32, 15, and 5. But I think this one might have to go to James Harden. 40 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds, a 40 and 10 for multiple teams in the same season. He's like the third person to ever do that. And the first ever to have a 40-point, 15-assist game for two teams in the same season. That is absolutely nuts. Good on him. But this was huge, right? So Brooklyn go into Indy. They're now without Kyrie. It's just Harden. There's no KD, obviously. They're playing a big team, team with a lot of size. And Harden and Nicky Claxton, bit of Tyler Johnson, bit of Al Jefe Green, just fucking nutted up and just went, right, doesn't matter. We're going to go hammer and tongs. The way they just overtook Indy, somewhat ironically, I guess, when it's the Pacers. It's the pace car, bro. The pace car. Get it? And put the pedal to the metal and just fucking killed them down the stretch. He was remarkable. So, great game by Harden. He's going to get it. Luka and Giannis right there, too. That's a lot of NBA Australia-approved performances for a big night of NBA basketball. Who was Spud of the night, though, Jimmy?
Spud of the night.
Belly Bleacher, 15 minutes, went 0 of 5 from the floor. Good on him. How about all of the Raptors? I mentioned that, didn't I? Big Booty Kyle Lowry, 2 of 13. Van Vliet, 2 of 13. Pascal Siakam, 3 of 11. Ugh. 1 of 13 from 3 combined, 7 of 37 shooting between the three of them. That's how you lose a game in 37 easy steps. But the I mentioned the Heat as well. The Dragon was horrible, 2 of 11 for him. Kendrick Lamar, none, 2 of 10. Tyler, there goes my hero, 4 of 11, 4 of 13 for I'd like to have a beer with Duncan Robinson as well. So they combine to go 12 of 46. Ew! But today's might have to go to Bryn, your mum's best mate, Forbes. Oh, jeez. He had 1 point. Oh, Jimmy, that's not that bad. He shot 0 of 10. 0 of 10! What are you doing, Bryn? Jesus! 0 of 6 from downtown. Bryn, your mum's best mate. Tonight, you were the spot of the night. And I was just after I'd sort of talked him up, like in the last couple of days, like, oh, Bryn Forbes is kind of fitting in really well. Boom! Comes out and makes me look like an idiot. Thanks for coming, Bryn. Who was old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Kawhi. And Paul George both had a big fucking whinge after the game.
Aww, we only got 11 free throws against Dallas. Aww, the refs don't like us and don't give us
calls. And then Paul George came out and said, oh, hey, man, I hope that we send clips to them, the fouls, and the league's got to take a look at this. Knock! You absolute knock, Paul George. Look, I get it. It sucks. There was a couple of dubious calls in that game too, but I mean, that's not why you lost, so settle down. Go have a bitch and moan. The best part is the old mate, no mates. Like, this is actually just, could always be Kawhi, because we're all pretty clear that he has zero personality and probably no mates outside of Uncle Dennis. But Paul George, still one of the most laughed at, most hated NBA players for reasons mostly to do with, I don't know, probably knocking up a stripper when he was meant to be with Austin Rivers' sister and Doc Rivers' daughter, obviously. So Paul George, you know, just getting what's coming to him. You love to see it. Even the refs like, we fucking hate this guy. Go on. Panting of the night, however, who was this one, Jimmy? Fatty, fatty, fat, fat, Draymond literally got shook out of his boots by Christian Wood. And you love to see it. It's like, oh, the move wasn't even that good, man. He just sort of tripped over. But it was just like the extended sequence where Christian Wood sort of dribble, crossed him up a little bit, and Draymond sort of tripped over his own feet and went fucking flying. And like his foot basically got stuck in the ground. It was pretty funny. But Rusty Westbrook, I mentioned this, got blocked twice by the rim, by the back of the rim as well. Like, it's not the front of the rim where it's like, oh, I can't jump high enough, man. These two times, he basically threw it in and it ricocheted off the back of the actual inside of the rim. I don't know how he did that. It's pretty gnarly. But then, it's okay. He finally gets one to go. Absolutely crams it home late. He goes on his little personal 6-zip run, gets him all the way back in this. And then, as mentioned, De'Aaron Fox hits the game winner. There's 0.7 of a second left. Here we go. Rusty's like, well, we'll set it up. We'll get a shot. He inbounds the ball to no one. He literally threw it. His man didn't cut, and he threw it completely straight out of bounds. He's just like, what? Bit of pantsing right there. Who was better at pantsing? That's like a level of pantsing where it's like the smart kid raises their hand in class and comes up with an answer, and the teacher's like, what? No. Love that. Who was better than Lonzo Ball, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. As mentioned, big Deke Bay. Sadiq Bay. 28 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. He was awesome. 8 of 14 shooting, 6 of 10 from 3. And De'Aaron Fox, swipe of the Fox, Lonzo's old nemesis. 28 points, 7 assists, 5 steals. He was unreal. He shot 8 of 21. Didn't matter. Hit the big shot when it mattered. The game winner that he hit over Brad Beal today, De'Aaron Fox, the game winner, was neck level. It was unreal. Sort of did a bit of ISO, step back, bang, in your face. How do you like that one? Let's see Lonzo hit one of those. Good job, De'Aaron Fox. Good job, Big Deke Bay. You're both better than Lonzo Ball. Right, let's do some quick yeah-nahs. Right after, let's do some trade yeah-nahs. What do you reckon after this?
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Let's do some yeah-nahs. They are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing if you're in Melbourne. Pretty bloody warm at the moment. Footy's back as of today, so load up on all the beers, wines, cocktails that you need to get yourself through a footy season at thedailyliquor.com. The packs are amazing. There's a little bit of everything for everybody as long as you're over 18, of course. Now, on top of obviously the awesome Dos Blocos Pale Ale, the Dos Blocos XPA, the Lickbeer Ginger Beers, the Sample Brews, love them all. They've got the wines, they've got the cocktails, there's lots to go around. Nobody has to miss out, you love that. So, get around it. If you're in Melbourne, Metro Melbourne area, you get same-day delivery if you order before noon. So go smash thedailyliquor.com right now, because if you do and bang in the code STRAYA, you get a free six-pack and your old mate Jimmy. I'm giving you free beers. I can't do anything more for you. In fact, I refuse to do anything more for you. I'm too lazy and too hungover today. I should have been on the... This is the problem. I was drinking different beers because I was out at a bar that didn't have sample or XBAs. Killing me. Anyway, buy a sixer, buy a bottle of wine, buy some cocktails, buy an awesome booze pack. Bang in the code Straya, get a sixer on your mate, Jimmy. Right, let's do some yeah nahs. We take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah or more nah. Number one, does PJ Tucker move the needle for the Bucks, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. I'll tell you what. Yeah. I mean, as long as he remembers how to hit a fucking shot. But look, I absolutely love PJ Tucker for the Bucks. They keep him off the Sixers, where I think he would have been absolutely a weapon. And the Nets, again, where he would have been a huge, huge weapon. To be able to, like, rotate Bruce Brown and PJ Tucker in and off, that would have been wild. Anyway, PJ Tucker on the Bucks. The D is going to be huge. He can guard 3, 4, 5, no problems. He'll be fucking huge when they play Brooklyn. And also the Sixers. But just think, like, the Bucks can now roll out a lineup of, like, Jrue Holiday, Dante DiVincenzo, Mitty Middleton, PJ Tucker, and Giannis playing a small ball 5, especially against a team like Brooklyn, who aren't going to want to play DJ, DeAndre Jordan. Milwaukee are now way more equipped, I think, to deal with that than they were. So that's a huge win. Does it move the needle? I think it does a bit. You know? Well, now that you've got, like, another sort of rangy wing dude who will put his heart on the line and his body every game, you're laughing. Like, the Torrey Craig was kind of meant to do that for them, and he never, ever quite did it. DJ Augustine sucked the entire time. Now they've got fighting Bobby Portis and PJ Tucker on this team. That's terrifying. So good on him. But that's a great lineup. You love to see it. Good job for the Bucks. For Houston, I mean, the fact that they got anything for him was awesome. So good on them. Happy days. But PJ Tucker to the Bucks, that's a really, really great fit. And I think really must solidify like that feeling at the Bucks that, right, we didn't get Bogdan Bogdanovic. We don't quite have the extra sort of little bit of playmaking we probably need. But now we've got another wing that we can sort of trust in crunch time, and that's huge. So good one. Speaking of which, does Trevor Ariza move the needle for the Heat? This one's a little bit different. Yeah, nah. He probably does a little bit, right? Like, he's probably the guy they thought they were getting with Iguodala last year. But the problem's going to be, like, he'll be rusty as. So he hasn't played for a year. But I think it's a very good pickup for a dude they had to get rid of, Myers Leonard, and who wasn't going to play anyway because he was out for the season with his bung shoulder. So Ariza gives them another wing defender to throw at the likes of the Sixers, the Bucks, and the Nets as well, which is pretty huge for the Heat. Look, if Duncan Robinson's not on, you can roll Ariza out there. If Tyler Hero's not on, Ariza can be in there. Just imagine it. You can have Jimmy Butler, Ariza, Iguodala, Bam. Woo! It's pretty good. I like that a lot. So I think that's a good one for the Heat. It's a great pickup, for especially for, you know, having somebody who wasn't going to play to turn him into Trevor Ariza. That's huge. So good job by the Heat. Luke Fragona asked, Jimmy, is Lamar Patterson the NBL's own Fat Man Hoop Brooklyn Clan story? And can his reuniting with the Bullets save his reputation like Harden's doing in Brooklyn? Yeah, nah, look, not to go NBL Australia on you for a second, but that's a really good question from Luke, because it does have shades of Harden, doesn't it? Eating his way out of New Zealand. Goes back to the Bullets. The Bullets are really, this has turned into NBL Australia. Having seen the Bullets up close and personal a couple of times over the course of the NBL Cup, super impressed by them. Obviously, look, we've had a lot of Bullets on our program here. Friends of the show, Anthony Drimmick, Jason Kadee and co. Sobey's playing a fucking awesome year. He's been amazing. You get Patterson back there. Look, Orlando, he was good. He was very handy, but Lamar back, I kind of like it. And I mean, like, are Brisbane going to hate him? No. Will the Kiwis hate him anyway? Probably. Does anyone care? No. So that's a really good one. Thanks, Luke. I love a bit of NBL talk. We're going to do a little bit more of that next week as well, I think, with the NBL. We're going to have a big NBL catch-up, so keep your ears peeled. So that's a good yeah, nah, yeah. I reckon he will probably rehab that reputation as long as he doesn't eat himself out of Brisbane too. Scotty Baxter. Yeah, nah, Jimmy. Zion will win MVP within 5 years. Oh, that's a good one. That's a great one. Yeah, nah. Look, my first blush of this is nah, Because five might be pushing it, right? We've got to get through LaMelo winning his three straight. Aaron Bangers Baines getting one. So, I mean, there's only one left and legacy one for Patty, so you're kind of done. But for real, like, the tricky part is for Zion, you've got Ascendant Luka, you've still got Giannis, you've still got KD, you've got the ascendancy of Embiid, the Joker. And, like, for the next decade, like, there's a weird mix of dudes who are old and young, who will be right there. You've still got Dame. You've still got Steph. Like, who knows? LeBron will probably win it this year, as mentioned. So old dudes, young dudes, it's a weird mix. And Zion's right there. So if he keeps this up and the Pels are good, like if he's got the Pelicans looking better than Anthony Davis's Pelicans, he'll be in the mix. And you can sort of see them, like maybe not next year, maybe the year after, if they have an absolutely fucking awesome year for the Pelicans and he's really good, and he's dropping like 30, 10, and 5 and playing awesome defense, and the Pelicans are just absolutely terrifying. Yeah, he could win an MVP, because if, especially if like Luka maybe just doesn't have a great year here and there, and like Zion just rolls through everybody, shit, yeah, he could win it. It's like definitely not beyond the realm of possibility, right? Like we've seen Embiid sort of get into shape, start kicking ass, taking names this year. It took him a while, but he got there. So I think Zion in 5 years, he's already being awesome. So, yeah, I don't think it's too much of a stretch. I am Matty S goes, yeah, nah, Jimmy, what's all this horse shit with tie-ups and jump balls? If a defender causes a shooter to come back down with the ball, it's a fucking travel. Reward the defense. Yeah, nah. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I really actually agree with this one. So, I mean, like, that weird travel call against Randall was kind of bizarre, right? Because I always thought that if a defender's knocked the ball away and he's basically dribbled as he came back down as well, right? And they've gone and called it a travel. I thought it would have been okay because the defenders sort of, you know, knocked it around. You can maybe tie it up, call it a jump ball if you need to. But also, like, Matty makes a good point. If the defender does cause you to come back down with the ball, like, it should probably just be a travel. We should be rewarding defense, you know? But this is actually a thing to keep an eye on. So of all the games I've been watching over the last couple of, you know, since the All-Star break, I feel like there's been, like, a weird sort of switch where the defense, when gambling for steals and stuff, especially at the end of games where they're trying to keep their team in it, the refs have been a lot more lenient and a lot more happy just to go, oh, there's a, like even Brook Lopez got fucking wailed on today in the Bucks game when the Sixers were trying to foul and then Mitty basically shook free for a easy dunk. But was it Drew? I can't remember. Whatever. Lopez is getting fucking hacked. They didn't call anything. Luckily, Lopez got rid of the ball really quickly with a great pass. And then you sort of think about this a little bit more and you think about all the times that you've seen at the end of games, it's like they've sort of double-teamed somebody, trapped him in the corner, there's not been a foul call, and then suddenly it's a jump ball. It happened like a million times the other day in the Nets-Knicks game, etc. So, I don't know. I kind of like the fact that it suddenly turned into a jump ball rather than a foul. That's better. But yeah, this travel thing was pretty funny. So good job, Matty. Love that one. What about the unpopular opinion of the day, though, today?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me, look at me. Milwaukee, you won. And I love that Giannis was like fucking feeling it. And he sat down on the court. That was hilarious. But also, Milwaukee, settle the fuck down just a little bit. You beat a team without an MVP and they were running their offense through fucking Furkan Korkmaz. So, I don't know if we need to anoint Milwaukee again as like the best team in the NBA. It took them overtime to beat Philly, who were playing on a back-to-back. Jesus. You know? You know? Anyway, good stuff. What about Outback Takehouse today? This one's just a silly, dumb one. It's Thursday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, 2-for-1 blooming onions, because you fat bastard Yanks fucking love just frying shit, don't you? You really do. Seriously, onions in Australia, mate, all we do is fucking slice them up, chuck them on a barbie, cook until they're black as a dog's guts, and then chuck them on a sausage. You little ripper. But no, you pricks just want us to fucking deep fry it and make it look like a flower or something? Nah, you're fucked in the head. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is, Steph is using his sore ass as an excuse not to play for the next couple of weeks and wait for his team to sort of catch up and figure out what they're fucking going to do so he doesn't get a couple of humiliating losses under his belt. Only at Outback. Yeah, I reckon Steph should milk the broken ass for as much as he can. There's also a much worse Outback Takehouse where He pretended to hurt his ass, but it all came from a little bit of butt play that he and his missus might have been getting up to. But hey, I didn't say that. I mean, the option was there for me to say it, but I didn't say it. So, you know, I'm above that. Right. Let's take a break. Be back on Straight Play Watch right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Righto, let's talk about knowable. What do All-Star Chris Paul, Commander Scott Kelly, and Reddit co-founder Alexis O'Hanian have in common? They're all very smart. They've all got incredible experiences. They've all created audio courses as well on Knowable to teach you stuff about what they've learned. It's a new app, Knowable, where the world's top experts teach you new skills in bite-sized audio courses. They're short like a podcast, expert-led like an audiobook, 100% ad-free. It's like Spotify for learning shit. I love it. The bloke from NASA talks about space. Chris Paul talks about plant-based lifestyles and the performance benefits thereof. Reddit co-founder Alexis O'Hanian teaches you how to launch a startup. And there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, download the Knowable app. Visit K-N-O-W-A-B-L-E, that's knowable.fyi. Download the app. Use the code STRAY for 20% off extra. How good's that? Love it. I love Knowable. I get smarter every time I listen to him. So go check it out. Right. Australian Player Watch. How was your Paddy's Day? Jesus. I just absolutely tanned it. It was really fun. And then we ended up at like a horrible pub in Richmond until like fucking 2:30 playing pool and like listening to awesome alternative metal hard rock from the late 90s. It was great. It was, you know, my man Joshy just hanging out. It's like nothing had fucking changed from the time we were 15. So it's gnarly. Yeah, anyway, hope you had a good one. Let's do the Australian Player Watch. Big Simo Ben Simmons at his 32nd career triple-double today. 13 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds, and hit another three. Absolutely awesome, man. It's pretty bloody good. You love to see it, too, because the more threes Ben Simmons hits, the more the gambling idea of his over-under on threes gets. So he's hit two for the year. I think he's shot like two of six. Is that right? One, two. Yeah, two of six. That's pretty good. You'd like to see him hit a couple more, but either way. I think the over-under we had was five at the start of the year. Yeah, it's not bad. So he's still cruising along. He'll probably go under. But he was really good in this game. Two steals. Very handy. Matty T as well. I just want to mention as well, the penitentiary that Giannis got put into early was absolutely nuts. And then the fact that he shook free of it was pretty gnarly. Matty T played 20 minutes. He had 0 points. He went 0-3 from the floor, but he had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals and a block because he's an absolute fucking defensive menace. Patty Mills, Patty Thrills against the Bulls. He was awesome. 14 points, shot 4 of 11, 3 of 8 from downtown, 3 of 3 from the stripe. Had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 very crucial steals that really set the tone for the Spurs against the Bulls. Huge game from Patty. Great stuff. You love to see it. Bangers was the leading man off the bench for the Raptors against his old team, Detroit. He played 26 minutes. He had 9 points, 4 of 8 from the floor. Missed all 3 of his 3s, though, which you hate to see. 5 rebounds, 1 assist. He was a +9 in a game that they lost pretty close. So, look, tough scenes there for Bangers, but that's what you get, Toronto. That's what you get when you mess with the Bangers. Get him back out there, mate. What are you doing? Right, but it is Thursday, so addition to the Australian Player Watch, we always go to Kiwi Corner and see how Steven Adams' year is going, huh? What do you reckon? So he's still averaging 8-9 for the year, 2 assists, 83rd in the NBA in PER. But for the last week, a bit of a rough one. He had the 10-17 against Cleveland, which is pretty good, in the big win that the Pelicans had. Really good game for him. Didn't miss a shot. Went 5 of 5. 10 points, 17 rebounds, 2 assists. Then he had 9-8 against the Clippers in that big win for the Pels. He went 3 of 3 from the floor. So that's 2 games he didn't miss a shot. Pretty amazing. 9 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 assists. And then yesterday against the Blazers in that wild game that they lost right at the end because of Dame Lillard being an absolute fucking savage. He played 25 minutes. He went 2 of 4 from the floor. Ends up with 4 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists and a steal. So, look, it's pretty interesting. I love talking about the Pelicans because they're just a head-scratching team, right? They lose to teams like Minnesota by 20 and turn around and beat the fucking Clippers by 20. It's just bizarre. It makes zero sense, but it's really fun. So, Love Steven Adams. Love to see it. He's playing pretty well at the moment. I think they're slowly figuring out how to use him and Zion and Spindle, so good shit. Right, what about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? Good one today, because it's Dally just posting to Instagram literally nothing but a picture on his Instagram story of Avo Toast. He just put it up. He's just like, look, that's fucking good toast. It was really nice looking toast as well. I could have used that this morning, I'll tell you that much. Jesus. I reckon he had a bit of chili flakes mixed in there as well. I think I've talked to him about what his ideal Avo Toast setup is. And it is chili flakes and a bit of sea salt. He's got a specific sea salt that he uses too. So you love to see it. Love Deli's Avo Toast. That probably means we'll do the Deli Avo Toast of cooking with Bainesy tomorrow. Because I was going to do a Steven Adams crossover episode with Cooking with Bainesy. But tomorrow I'm just not going to have enough time to do it, which sort of sucks. So might aim to do that next week. Yeah, that'll be good. Right, let's do the game previews for tomorrow, though. Got a huge set of games.
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks inadvertent, Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. Did you have a fun St. Paddy's Day night, though?
Oh, yeah. So, I don't think I mentioned this yesterday, but so old mate and I always had a tradition in New York. So there for six years. So all six of them on St. Patrick's Day, we ended up at the pub around the corner from our apartment. Didn't matter what time of day, didn't matter what state we're in, we got there every year for St. Patrick's Day. It was fucking gnarly. This tiny little horrible old Irish bar run by these two old Irish guys who were like the angriest little like Irish bartenders you could ever imagine. It's like ordering a beer was like a personal affront. It's like, yeah, can I? I remember also like, you know, by the end of your time there, like 6 years in New York, I'm like putting on my accent to order beers and shit because just they... Americans, man, they're not going to, you know, listen to you properly and understand what you're trying to say. She's like, yeah, I get two pints of, I get one pint of the Guinness, and could I get I'll get one of the ciders. You have to say cider, because they don't get when you say cider. Anyway, so old mate and I would always go in there, get absolutely, you know, if we're already shit-faced, get more shit-faced. If we weren't, get it off to a good start. I remember there was a couple of years we had Nets games on that same night. And it was great because it was the first time they'd have Guinness you could actually drink at the Nets Stadium. That was gnarly, but we'd always go back to the pub, and it was fucking beautiful. And then, having moved back to Melbourne, we've now got our own little tradition for St. Paddy's Day as well. It's not quite as busy over here as it is in New York, obviously. I just pop over to the pub. We've taken the squid the last couple of years. It's been absolutely... He just sort of sits there. Yesterday, he's playing with his Thomas the Tank Engine and his... Marshall from Paw Patrol, and he had a fucking great time because he's okay. He's absolutely fucking chipper. He went back to daycare. He's like, I don't give a fuck that I was in hospital for like half a day, Dad. It's like, ah, you resilient little bugger. You're the best. So that was gnarly. I'm loving just building up this new tradition. It's really cool, really fun. The beers were great too at the pub. And yeah, then when I fucked off and got rat shit with mates. Cool story, Jimmy. Cool story. Anyway, let's do the game. So today we went 3 of 10 on the picks. That means we're 363 of 655. Really missed pretty badly on some of the ones today. Like, I thought the Cavs would give that a bit more of a shake. Nailed the Denver pick over Charlotte. Nailed Dallas as well. Just missed a Miami, obviously, because that was really close. Had the Spurs. That was no problems. But thought Houston would put up a fight. Thought Boston would beat Cleveland pretty handily. And that was... completely obliterated. Toronto getting their dudes back obviously didn't help. I thought Indy were, well, look, Indy did exactly what I expected, and then Harden just went fucking ham. So anyway, Milwaukee didn't quite cover either, thanks to Simmons, I think, with that three at the end. And yeah, so a couple of misses there, but look, we're doing pretty bloody good for the rest of the season, though. Come on, man. 363 out of 655. And tomorrow's games, I think we've got six. We've got the Jazz. The Utah Jazz go to Washington. Mr. Jingles goes to Washington. They're 10-point favorites, the Jazz, on the road. The Wiz on a back-to-back. I'm going to take the Jazz. I think they're going to absolutely obliterate the Wizards. Too good defensively, too many weapons offensively for the Wiz to catch up to. So give me the Jazz, minus 10. Atlanta are hosting OKC. I'm going to go Atlanta at home, minus 7. OKC have been struggling with injuries. Georgie Boy Hill's obviously been in and out. Well, he's been out for like a month. Average Al in and out. They've been losing, you know, Dort has been sat out. Shy Redder, Gilgeous Alexander's been kicking ass, taking names. And now they're out there trading Hamidou Diallo, and they've got Shvi. Who knows? But I think Atlanta, on their big run at the moment, having won all their games under Nate McMillan will continue apace and absolutely like smoke OKC. -7. Give me that, Atlanta. Orlando, go to the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City. This is an interesting one. This one's all player-based because if Vooch, Fournier, and T-Ross are playing, I'm taking Orlando +7. If not, if they're missing Fournier and Ross, then I'm taking the Knicks -7. It's pretty big. Aaron Gordon, maybe looking at, you know, where he could end up as his new home. Who knows? He's been very up and down since his return. So, look, I kind of like Orlando +7 if they've got their dudes playing. And if they don't, Knicks roll -7. Blazers host the Pelicans. What an awesome game. I'm going to go the Blazers -1. I think CJ McCollum, you know, warming himself back into the game. The Pelicans versus Dame. They do have Bledsoe. They do have Lonzo to sort of try to slow him down a little bit. But the Blazers do have a lot of weapons. I don't know who covers Zion and Spindles, though, for the Blazers, you know, and actually slows them down. So I'm going to go the Pels +1. I don't feel good. It's hard to feel good ever picking against the Blazers because Dame can just decide with 5 minutes to go in the game, nah, fuck it, let's win this one, you know? So give me the Pelicans +1, though. I think Zion and Spindles should be a little bit too much. They'll be hurting after that one-point loss as well the other day, so give me the Pels. Charlotte! Go to the Lakers a day after playing in Denver. The Lakers, I think I'm going to go Charlotte +8 here. The Lakers are sort of eking out these wins of late. They're 6-6 without AD. Charlotte don't exactly have like the big bodies to really punish them. They do have, you know, Cody the Bank Teller Zeller, Bismack Biyombo. Stay up, Biyombo. And PJ Hamilton Washington. So I think they'll stay in touch. They're +8. I reckon that'll be all right. I think you'll see Terry Rozier, Gordy Hayward and co. all going off a little bit. Give me the Hornets +8. I think they might end up losing this one, but it would be a much better and much closer game than you'd think. So Charlotte +8 against the Lakers. All right, and there you go. That's it for today. Slightly hungover show, a bit dusty. What are you going to do? right, either way, go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. Remember, bet responsibly. Be over 18. Don't be a dickhead. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. How good's that? Wrap all that action. Talk about the start of the footy season. Yeah. Alright, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, all over the socials. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop, buy some merch. Enjoy that. Go get around World Wrestling Australia with Adam over on YouTube. World Wrestling Australia is awesome. Adam's got heaps to talk about, you know, NXT title match for the women and stuff like that. Chick from the Gold Coast is in that one. Chuck us all a rating on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you're using, the Android phone. It does help out heaps, so please get around it. TheDailyLiquor.com, go there, use the code STRAYA. Get a free sixer on your mate Jimmy. Go to Noble.fy, get 20% off. Go to WeR.co. If you're going to run a raffle or want to do some community fundraising, go smash that. They're the best. Big thanks also go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band. House Hats, they're up and running, out of time's out now. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, and Facey. Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Goldmines album is now out, and so is Ramshackle Army's new EP. So, enjoy those. Right, we're going to close out today's show with a brand new diary of Stephen Adams. I think it's a bit of a loose one, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen. Oh, kia ora, brews. Oh, it's Stephen Adams here, eh, brew? Just popping by for my weekly diary entry, brew. So here goes, eh? Oh, dear diary, brew. It's me, eh, Stephen Adams, Bob. But you knew that, bro, because you're my diary, bro. Oh, and you know, oh, my dark, deep secrets, bro. Like how I'm a bit drunk right now, eh? But shush, shh. Don't tell anyone, brew. Zon's asleep above me. I'm writing in my diary real quick before I pass out. So, yeah, a bit pussy today, brew. It's St. Patrick's Day, brew, here in New Orleans, brew. St. Patrick's, brew. Oh, I love it. There's always lots of beers, brew. And we always had a big one back home in NZE. And my best friend Zion and I today heard that in New Orleans, brew, that you could get girls, brew, to show your boobs for beads, eh? I'm like, oh, that sounds amazing, brew. So we wanted to have a look, eh? And I'll tell you what, brew. Oh, I saw 17 boobs, bro. Oh, it was awesome, eh? We also smished a whole mess of tins, bro, like about 47 cans, eh?
It was a lot of cans. They're like a dollar each here. And Zion just, oh, he's a big fella, Bruce. So am I. It takes a bit to get us a bit pissy, but 47 cans, bro. I got to 46, bro, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have one more, bro. And that put me over the edge, but we're mad at home. Zion's asleep on the bunk above me. He's not. Shut up, Zion. Why am I writing that one? He's snoring. I need a nip. Oh, I'm about to pass out. Oh, but quick. Oh, but everything's good here. St. Patrick's Day was fantastic, eh? We've had some good games of late. I can't believe Damien, my little friend Dame, he beat us the other day, bro, but that's all right, eh? Oh, I'll tell you what, it takes me a bit to get pissed out. Oh, gee, but here we are. Maybe I should call my... No, I'm not going to call my mum, eh? I need a nip, bro. Till next week, Dory. Cheer, cheery. Love, Stephen Adams, bro.